Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, the majority of the show, folks, this Monday night was dedicated to hyping up the Night of Champions. And unfortunately, the WWE, I think, failed miserably at doing this. And instead of hyping up Night of Champions, I think they basically just gave the whole show away. And we'll get into exactly why and how the problem with the WWE is they always have to show you how the trick is done. I just don't understand it, and becoming increasingly more frustrating as a WWE fan to watch what you would assume would be qualified and quality writers tip their hand so many times that they may as well just show you the cheat sheets of who's winning and losing. It's outrageous, and it should stop, but I see no signs of it. Anyway, we start out with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And they're talking about their match with Solo and Roman at Night of Champions and how this is going to be sort of a dream come true for them because they get a shot to get some revenge on Roman Reigns that they never thought they were going to get. All that's perfectly fine and logical. And out come the Judgment. Now, here's the problem with this. You don't start feuds. Tag team champions on the cusp of them defending against someone else, because then it usually just means they're not losing. Why would you start a feud with the Judgment Day and later on Imperium if you're not going to be the tag team champion past Saturday? Short answer is, you're not. You don't. But here comes Finn Balor. Here comes Damian Priest, Dominic, and Rhea. And at first, Kevin Owens says, look, I don't even want to hear what you got to say. You're obviously out here to fight, so let's just fight. Sami Zayn says, no, you know, maybe they don't want to fight. Let's just calm them down and let's just talk. This turns into a beatdown. And we're told that later on tonight, we will have that match between Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus the tag team champions. Interesting that that wasn't booked. And now it's your main event. Once again, the WWE does this where apparently they had no main event going into the show. That's what they want you to believe. Well, we're on the air. We have no main event. But thankfully, the Judgment Day decided to pick a fight with our tag team champions. So now we do have a main event. So that's really good, because if the Judgment Day decided I ain't into it tonight, I don't know what we're going to present to you folks. That's kind of what they are indicating when they do this. It's just such lazy writing. It's just lazy. Rather than just have Judgment Day come out and say we have a match later on tonight, and we wanted to let you know that when we beat you, we become the number one contenders. Now, I don't want to jump to the main event, but I'll tell you why it gets worse later on. But once again, it is not a great idea for you to start another feud with a champion prior to a defense against someone else, because usually that means that the person holding the belt or belt is not losing, because you're already setting up the next storyline. So, Mike, you know, I see the opening, and I'm saying to myself, well, maybe, just maybe, they're just trying to get through tonight. But that's not exactly what happened later on. So, you know, I'm not giving them any breaks here, Mike. They kind of tipped their hand.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Now, before they came out, I like what Sami Zayn said, basically not even addressing Roman Reigns, basically addressing Jimmy and Jay, and basically addressing Jay. That was a good bit of writing there. That was a good bit. That was one of the better things that happened that night. And obviously, Sami Zayn is still in the zone with this stuff. The writers are still somewhat in the zone with this stuff. Even though it seems like it's ending with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline, and the other thing that continues to surprise, amaze me is how over Dominic is as a heel.
Yeah, and they even pandered to that by saying, you know, Kevin Owens saying, go ahead and let Dominic talk. We want to know your feelings about it, because the crowd always loves it when you talk. There's no question that he's over. Here's the problem. JD McDonagh has been called up, and from what I'm hearing, he's going to join the Judgment Day. He's basically a Finn Balor clone. So now you're going to have two Irish guys, about 5'8", 160 pounds. You're going to have a Mexican guy and a Puerto Rican guy and an Australian girl. I don't know what the hell kind of a mishmash this is, but it's and oh, by the way, they're all goth, apparently. None of them are. Rhea Ripley's the closest, and she's really not. She's more like dominatrix than goth. We're the Judgment Day. We're this eerie, scary, druid base. Come on. If you're going to do this, then at least knock off the entrance with the druids and music and all that, because it's dumb. It's like when The Undertaker had his crew. If they came, you know, out to it, you'd say, yes, okay. But if his crew was, you know, Matt Riddle and Tozawa and R-Truth, you'd be like, well, that's not really working. Well, this isn't working. Rhea and Dominic need to go. Simple as that. They have the highest profile anyway. They're the ones people care about. Let them go do their thing. Adding another member at this point, I don't like. So if J.D. McDonagh is going to join this, I just think it's going to be a joke. Anyway, Shinsuke Nakamura and The Miz start off the actual in-ring action because, of course, Shinsuke Nakamura nor The Miz would be remotely interested in trying to be the number one contender for Gunther's title. Oh, why do we want that? We'd much rather just fight each other in an opening match on Raw. Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, the Viking Raiders, they're interested in it. Once again, you just shake your head. You see, folks, if you're a wrestling fan, you would believe that all the top guys are definitely interested in being the number one contender for Gunther's title. Therefore, you would forgive the fact that a lot of the other matches that aren't going to be this battle royal are going to be mid-card to lower mid-card guys trying to get up, you know, their ranking. No, instead, we go off two of the top guys we have here, and let's face it, they are. Shinsuke Nakamura and The Miz are two guys that are always in the picture. Oh, no, we don't want to be the number one contender. That's for people like the Viking Raiders and all the new guys from NXT that hasn't had one match, not one, in WWE. They get in it. But why would Shinsuke want to be in it? Why would The Miz want to be in it? We'd just rather just fight each other. Now, was it a good match? Yes. Yes, it was a good match. I enjoyed the match. My problem is the psychology of it, where you're saying, why would these guys not want to enter the battle royal? It's for number one contendership. Is a little pissing contest they had backstage last week worth throwing away a shot at a title? And if it is, why are you a wrestler? Oh, but the NXT guys, they get right in it. Tag team guys, they get right in it. Not Shinsuke. It bothers me, Todd, because if, you know, if you're a high-profile wrestler on Raw, like Shinsuke Nakamura is, remember, they said, oh, Shinsuke's coming to Raw, this is going to be the biggest thing. And then he doesn't want to be the number one contender? That's kind of dumb.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing of this Intercontinental Championship, I know we're going to talk about the Battle Royal, but those guys like The Miz and Shinsuke Nakamura should have been in that Battle Royal. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it was a pretty – the opening match was great. And you know, two great accomplished wrestlers in their careers, and like you said, that should have been like the middle of the show.
Well, you know what? I thought this is how dumb I am, and how much credit I give the WWE than when I shouldn't. I should know better. I thought, oh well, the reason they're going to be number one and start this out is they're still going to be in the Battle Royal. They'll just pull double duty. They're fighting each other, and they're going to be in the Battle Royal. And maybe we'll have something where, like, okay, The Miz loses, but he throws Shinsuke out, so the feud continues or something. That's what I thought. Because I thought there's no earthly way these two guys are not in a number one contenders match for the Intercontinental Championship. There's no way that wouldn't be the case. By the way, I guess Braun Strowman wasn't interested. He wasn't there. Ricochet was. You know, I don't know, Mike. It just gets to me when they do this, because it almost undercuts how important the Intercontinental Championship is when you have some of your top guys basically passing on being the number one contender.
Right, and think about this. Over the past, three, four, 5 months, whatever, however long he's been holding championship, he's been making that championship worthwhile again as Gunther. So what does this say for all that work that Gunther's done? And frankly, I'd love to see a Shinsuke Nakamura versus Gunther match, because King of Strong Style versus a guy that obviously likes to work stiff. We saw those matches with our friend there, Mr. Sheamus, you know, and I would assume that those two guys would, Shinsuke and Gunther, would work well together.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a great program with those two. There's no question about it. It's just that the WWE has decided in their infinite wisdom that people who haven't had one single match in the WWE should be in a tournament for the number one contenders for the Intercontinental belt, but two former champions should not be. Okay. So I'm supposed to buy into this. Why? So here comes the Battle Royal. Gunther comes out with Imperium. And they stand on the tables, and they're watching the match. And I'm looking at guys like Angel Garza, Humberto, and I'm saying, God, this is what they've been reduced to. Here's the problem with this. As much as I love Angel Garza and Humberto, we haven't even seen them. Why are they in a battle royal to decide the number one contender for a crucially important WWE title, when they're not even important enough to put on television? But some of your top stars aren't. Now, this did nothing for anybody from the NXT that just got called up, because they all got thrown out. JD McDonough is the only one who used the opportunity, or they allowed to use the opportunity, to start a feud. It looks like maybe he'll start a feud with Dolph Ziggler, which is who everybody starts a feud with to begin their WWE run. You got to get by Dolph Ziggler. We get that. That's been the pattern for I don't know how long now. But aside from that, this Battle Royal was nothing special. And to have Ali win it is pandering. Sorry, but it is. It's just plain, flat, no doubt about it, pandering. He does not deserve it. He has not been booked to deserve it. No one in their right mind thinks he has a chance to win it. And the WWE has actually told you that, because when Matt Riddle came down, he was the only one who got into some sort of a confrontation with Gunther prior to the match. That's your number one contender past Saudi Arabia. We know it because of the way they told him, excuse me, to go over there and get in Gunther's face and start the shoving match. And by the way, Imperium then eliminates Matt Riddle basically from the competition. Meaning, of course, he is now the next number one contender once Gunther gets finished going to Saudi Arabia and smashing Mustafa Ali. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? There was no reason in the world for you to undermine the match by clearly showing us that the next feud is going to be with someone who could potentially, won't, but could potentially beat Gunther, and totally ruining any small, infinitesimal possibility that Ali upsets Gunther. Why would you do that if you're a writer? I don't understand that, and it's very, very frustrating. The minute I saw Matt Riddle interact with Imperium and Gunther, I said, well, he's winning. He's obviously winning. They've obviously told you he's going to be the guy. Then when he didn't win, but because he was basically set upon by Imperium, I said, okay, well, whoever wins, they're not winning. They're not winning in Saudi Arabia, because this obviously is the next feud. You've already set the table for the next championship feud, and you haven't even gotten by this one. You know what that's like? That's like having a movie, and right in the middle of a movie where there are crucial characters who you don't know are going to make it. Let's say you have a movie where there's five people on a boat and a shark attacks, and you know the main guy's probably going to live, but there's four other people you don't know. And right in the middle of the movie, they say, we're having an intermission, and by the way, here's a preview for part two of this movie, and it shows all the people. Then you're like, well, they're obviously not dying, because there they are in the second movie. Would that not take away some of the drama of the movie you're watching? Because now you say, oh, okay, well, I know that person's making it. I know that person's making it. Didn't see that one. So apparently that one's biting the dust. It would ruin it. No writer worth a damn would ever do that. WWE writers do it on a regular basis, Tom. Very, very aggravating.
You know what else is aggravating, Marcus? Good afternoon, by the way, everyone. You know what else is aggravating is that not only did WWE, you know, put tag teams in a battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship in Saudi Arabia, where we know the Viking Raiders ain't winning, where we know Alpha Academy ain't winning. We know Humberto and Angel Garza ain't winning. Like, you couldn't find anybody else. Did you have to have that many in the Battle Royal? Not only that, but you give Matt Riddle almost like a reward for sending nude pictures of himself. He should be punished. He shouldn't have even been out there.
The punishment is that he's gonna lose to Gunther. But they need people that you can't punish Gunther. So Gunther needs top contenders. So they figured, well, Saudi Arabia's not going to be important. And plus, everybody will be rooting for Ali there. That'll be wonderful. So Gunther will get the big heat. And he'll let Ali look good for a little while, and then he'll crush him. And then Matt Riddle will pick up the pieces when we come back to stateside, and we'll have this big feud where, oh, he could win, and he won't win. So once again, it's like already knowing what's happening in the movie, but worse than that, it's knowing what's happening with the secondary characters. I mean, if you go to a movie, you're pretty sure like the main guy in the movie isn't kicking the bucket. You're pretty sure Vin Diesel's not getting killed in the new Fast and Furious. But you don't know about secondary characters. Now, if you were to release, oh, here's another Fast and Furious movie that's coming out as well, and we'll show you the previews of that, and you say, well, that person's in it, then before you even go to the new movie, you already know there's nothing happening to those people. And it would take away some of the drama. WWE saps themselves of the drama of their feuds on a regular basis, Mike.
They really do. And frankly, look, here's the deal. We saw Elias, right? Where the hell was Rick Boogs?
I don't know.
I mean, that,
where was really Braun Strowman?
Yeah, why was Braun Strowman? You would think you got Rick Boogs, Braun Strowman, The Miz, Shinsuke Nakamura. That's four people right there. You're going to take two of those tag teams away. And, you know, you could have had a tag team match between two of those tag teams. You know, you're not doing anything with Angel and Humberto. You could have put Angel and Humberto, you know, against the Alpha Academy, you know, whatever. Do whatever. I mean, just put those other four guys in the thing. You know, you knew that the guys from NXT were going to win it. You know, put Big Boogs, put, you know, these guys in Shinsuke. You would have thought, okay, Shinsuke's in it, Miz is in it. One of these two guys
are going to
win it.
Well, on top of that, I guess Dominic Mysterio is not interested in winning any titles either, huh? He's more interested in beating up Xavier Woods. There's no interest by the Judgment Day of having Dominic Mysterio be the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. Why? Can I ask why? See, that's why it doesn't make any sense. Every top guy would have been in it. Every one of them. Nope. No, we'll take a pass. We don't want to be the Intercontinental Champion. Okay. Well, then I guess it doesn't mean that much, does it? We then get to this weird thing with Seth Rollins doing an interview, and they're breaking it up into pieces like it's all dramatic, and it's really not, and it's just lame, and I'm not even going to talk about it because we already know Seth Rollins is winning. Can you make it any more obvious? Maybe you just have some pictures taken with the belt ahead of time, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you at this point. It's just ridiculous. So the guy who doesn't want to be the Intercontinental Champion, Dominic Mysterio, takes on Xavier Woods, once again with the help of Rhea Ripley. He wins. It's fine, you know, but again, why would Xavier Woods not want to be in the number one contenders? I know he lost. But he could get another shot at it, right? Why wouldn't Dominic Mysterio want to be in it? There's no reason. So now you have made it impossible for me to suspend my disbelief, because you're basically telling me that guys that get in the business to win titles don't want titles. That's aggravating. So, I mean, Dominic Mysterio and Xavier Woods is just as good as you imagine it would be, Todd, but why weren't these guys in it?
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. If I was doing a battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship, I would not put any tag teams in it, to be honest with you. You're putting singles competitors. Kofi Kingston's injured. Too bad his Big E's injured, guys like that as well, and you got to put tag teams in this battle royal?
I mean, if you want to put a couple of tag teams in, go ahead, but don't put guys that's never been on TV in the last 6 months and not put main event type guys in there, because that doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't it have been better if you said, okay, look, Finn Balor and Damian Priest, maybe they're more worried about the tag team titles. That's what they've set their goal on, so they don't want to split themselves up by putting themselves in this battle royal. Fine. They've set themselves up to be number one contenders maybe by winning. So there's your main event. Just before the main event, we're going to have a battle royal, which means that some of these guys are going to pull double duty tonight. Yes, you're going to see Dominic Mysterio and Xavier Woods. Yes, you're going to see Shinsuke Nakamura and The Miz, but they're also going to be in the battle royal. Are you going to tell me that those athletes can't do a six-minute match and then be in a battle royal an hour later? Of course they can be. Now, some real damage was done in this battle royal, I think. I mean, Dexter Lumis was thrown out almost immediately and looked like he couldn't really care less. That was bad. Bronson Reed is always that guy that, oh, I almost won. I almost got it. I almost whatever. He's going nowhere. You can already tell he's going nowhere. He's going to be an also-ran. The only thing this battle royal accomplished, other than the pandering of letting Ali have it so he can go to Saudi Arabia and lose, is to set up J.D. McDonagh and Dolph Ziggler, and that's it. Nothing else happened. Nothing. We have an exchange with Raquel Rodriguez and... I guess Liv Morgan is hurt. She was legit hurt or something. So now we're doing this thing where Sonya Deville and is saying, I used to be a member of a hierarchy here, and you should be stripped of the title. Since when? Adam Pearce is like, since when did that ever happen? That's not gonna happen. Jim Cornette is often not right. Jim Cornette is often just a loudmouth. But he's right about one thing. This women's division is not what it should be. Because too many people are worried about acting like they're high school girls at a locker arguing over a boy and not actually being a character and trying to be unique. Becky Lynch stands out. That's fine. Couple other ones. Aside from that, it's a horror show. It's an absolute horror show. And I don't see it getting any better. Then, to add insult to injury, we have Indus Shear make their debut, almost guaranteeing you again, if they didn't underline it enough, Roman Reigns and Solo are not winning the titles. Roman Reigns and Solo are not winning the titles. The Judgment Day starting a feud with the tag team champion. So is Imperium. Look, we're bringing in more bad guys to fight the champion. We get it. We get it already. In the middle of this bullshit, and that's what it is anyway, we're supposed to believe that for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone in the world, Gunther, who calls himself the ring general and says, there is no one that really takes wrestling serious like me, and I'm the big whatever around here, decides, I'll work for Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman has paid me, and I guess I'll just do his bidding. Why? For what reason would you do that? It makes no sense. This is not the way you want to portray Imperium or Gunther. Just isn't. But I guess the WWE does. So now all of a sudden, I guess Roman Reigns has henchmen, more henchmen. I don't know. My head's going to explode with this nonsense, Mike. This just weakens Imperium and makes them look like, I don't know. It just makes them look like also Rams.
Yeah, and that's not good. But here's something else to think about. Okay, Jinder Mahal. What was Jinder Mahal doing 6-8 months ago? He was with Shanky, right?
Yep.
Right. Now yep. What's he doing? He's in the stand. Where the hell is Shanky? I mean, I know he's supposed to be on SmackDown. But again, where the hell is he?
Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. They just said, to hell with him. We're going to bring back Veer Mahan and the other dude, and now they're going to be a tag team, and I guess Ginger's basically just going to manage them. I'm sure once in a while Ginger will get in the ring, and they'll do three-man matches, and they'll be fine until they lose their first match, and then they'll be right back to where the Viking Raiders have been, and dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. I don't know. I mean, the writing can't get much worse than that. It just can't. They beat up some local competitors. Felt sorry for the guys because Corey Graves didn't remember their name, so they didn't even get a plug. They didn't even so much as get a plug. I guess they're a formidable-looking tag team because they're both big dudes, but, I mean, I don't see this as being anybody who's going to take out the tag team champions. I think what we're looking down the barrel of now is the solidification that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are not losing in Saudi Arabia, because everyone that you're promoting seems to be targeting the faces, and the faces are the champions. If you were bringing in some new face groups and you were bringing in two monster faces, I'd say, I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are losing because it looks like they're setting up faces to fight heels. No, they're clearly setting up heels. So if they're setting up heel tag teams, then you're not going to have a heel tag team take them on, Tom. So quite obviously, something's going to happen in Saudi Arabia, and Roman and Solo are not winning.
Yeah, I don't believe they were actually winning anyway. I know there's got to be some shenanigans, and we don't even know if Sami Zayn's even going to Saudi Arabia. It's kind of up in the air because, you know, there's something that still could happen. You got another week, so you know it's very possible that they go that way with it, where Sami gets hurt, you know, storyline wise, and Kevin's forced to defend with a, you know, either by himself or with a partner that he's not familiar with, and they lose the belt that way. It's very possible. I mean, that would be
that
would make
sense. I
don't
even see
that
happening, because then what do you do? You know, then who does the Judgment Day have their feud with? Judgment Day in the main event, and you know, I don't want to jump, but in the main event, Judgment Day, with the help of Imperium, beats the tag team champions, making them the number one contenders, I would assume. And that pretty much means that they're going to get a shot at those guys. Not Roman and Solo, Kevin and Sami. And that Imperium may be working for Paul Heyman, which means that I don't even know what that means, because you'd think Imperium would want to go after the tag team belts themselves, not help somebody else get there. It's just a real cluster, Mike. It makes my head explode even thinking what the writers are trying to do.
Absolutely. The only thing that could save this is that we know that they're not winning, right? We know that Solo and Roman aren't winning. I mean, they don't put another title around Roman's waist or whatever, you know, but the only thing that could save this is if the people that cost somebody the titles is Jimmy and Jay cost Roman and Solo the titles. That's the only thing
that could save this. And that's a good possibility. That's a good possibility. Because then you have that feud there, and you still have Kevin and Sami coming back stateside to feud with Judgment Day and then probably Imperium and whatever. That's probably what's going to happen. Point is, I wanted to go into this event, Night of Champions, saying, I really don't know who's winning. They could give this belt to Edge because he has very limited time left. He technically never really lost that Raw belt that he had to vacate. You could have done a very good interview with him saying, this is going to be the culmination of my career. This is something I have to do for me. I don't know how much longer I have left. When I lose this belt, when I win it, then when I lose it, I'll retire. I'm winning this belt, and I'm going to let that dictate when I retire. When I lose, that will be my final match. And I would have said, as a wrestling fan, he has a chance. He has a chance. Maybe they're going to do that storyline. Instead, they say AJ Styles, who's not even on Raw, is a SmackDown guy and wasn't drafted by himself, by the way. He was drafted with three other people. Is now the number one contender going into that. And if he wins, they're all going to have to be drafted back to Raw. And then we're going to have sit-down interviews with Seth Rollins where we talk about how Roman Reigns isn't really qualified to be the champion. And if Seth Rollins had never betrayed the Shield, Roman Reigns wouldn't have the success. And you can see where they're going with this. So you may as well have just held up a great big sign that says AJ's not winning. I don't know why you would do that. You had a perfect opportunity to just let Edge get in there. And I'm a big AJ Styles fan. But the problem is he has no shot. Edge at least would have had a shot. You could have bluffed people into thinking Edge had a shot at winning. You're not bluffing people into thinking AJ does. And if he does for any reason, it's going to make the draft totally irrelevant and stupid. And I don't see him doing it. And then you've done the same thing with Gunther's title. No one in the world thinks Ali has one shot in hell. He's not winning it. And now you're going to do the same thing with the tag team titles, where before I said, wow, Roman Reigns and Solo, maybe they'll win it and start a feud with the Usos. No, now we see very clearly, because of Sammy and Kevin starting feuds with other tag teams and new tag teams coming in saying we're targeting Kevin and Sammy, they're not losing. Why would you do that? Why would you tip your hand? Well, you couldn't wait to introduce a new team. You couldn't wait till after the KO and Sammy were done with Roman and Solo to do the thing with Judgment Day. You couldn't wait? Why? And then at least we would have had some doubt. I mean, I was going into Judgment Day saying, I think maybe Roman will win with Solo. And then the big contest will be, well, you know, we won, you couldn't win. And then the Usos saying, well, give us a shot at your title then, see if you can hang on to it, if you're against us. That would have been interesting. So I thought, well, maybe that's the direction they're going. No, not the direction they're going. I don't know, Todd. It's, you know, they couldn't make their storylines any more obvious if they tried.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they jumped the gun on things. We noticed that back a couple of years ago where they jumped the gun on things of chapters, like from 1 to 9 with tag teams and their championships.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic. Kind of pathetic. Because somewhere in that writer's meeting, you would think there would have been one person who said, if we do this, aren't we kind of tipping our hands of who's winning all these matches? Are you sure this is the direction we want to go? No, everybody's like, that's fine. That'll work. That's cool. That'll get us through tonight. Who cares if everybody knows who's winning every single match at the Night of Champions? It's just, we're just fulfilling our Saudi Arabian obligation, and who cares? Well, I care. You should care about every show. You should make every show the best you possibly can. And it's very hard today, Tom, in this environment of internet and social media, it's very hard to bluff fans. So you have to work extra hard to do it. And instead, the WWE's philosophy is, it's very hard to bluff fans, so we're not even going to bother doing it. So that would be like a magician saying, nobody believes that I really am magical. So there's no reason for me to pretend I am. So I'm not going to come out with the lights and the big presentation and the hat and the wand and the cape and everything. I'm going to tell people how the trick is done, and then I'm going to show them the trick. And that'll still be plenty entertaining. Yeah, but nobody's coming. Now, you can't argue with success, and the WWE is doing very, very well in the ratings and everything, but at the end of the day, in the long term, you're going to lose fans behind this because, quite frankly, it gets boring. I was looking forward to Night of Champions for two reasons. One, I said, I really think Roman and Solo might win these titles. So that was the first one. Second is, I figured Gunther's going to have a major challenge. There's going to be a major, this is going to be his top challenge. No, not at all. It just seems like everything's telegraphed, and they say, oh, you already know, so who cares? You there, Tom?
I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute. So, I was looking to, I was looking forward to Night of Champions also, but they kind of crapped the bed, and you're right. They did. It made it seem like they were going to have a major challenger for Gunther, and they kind of just crapped the bed with it. Why is he doing Paul Heyman's bidding? Why is he involved with Mustafa Ali? Now it's just it's just kind of corny. And for Roman and Solo to face the tag team champions, it was interesting at first, but now that they kind of just gave it away, nobody's going to go to see a magician more than once. You kind of understand his tricks, and you're just like, I'm not really going to pay money to go see that again. Because it doesn't,
Especially now if they tell you how the trick is done ahead of time. Mike, the problem here is twofold with the Gunther thing. One is that it's pandering, obviously. Two is, the last time I checked, Mustafa Ali's a heel and a very annoying heel. So why would you take a very annoying heel and throw him at Gunther when Gunther is supposed to be, quote-unquote, one of your top heels? It really doesn't make a ton of sense, and there's no other reason in the world for them to do it other than pandering to the Saudi Arabian audience.
Obviously, they're pandering to the audience. And here's something else to think about. We talk about branches on the tree, right? Not only does this tree have no branches, it doesn't even fork. That's the thing. Some trees split apart and, it's the same tree, but it splits and has branches on one side and branches on the other side. And you can, you can do this and do that and whatever. And then others, their only goal is to become a telephone pole, right?
Yeah.
So this is where we're headed with the WWE. Not only does the tree not fork, they're just hoping this tree becomes a telephone pole.
Well, it's to the point now where, let's just say you're watching a television show. Let's say you're watching a soap opera, because that's sort of what, or one of these Game of Thrones or whatever it happens to be, one of these dramas, right? And there's crucial things coming up. Is this person going to marry this person? Is this person going to live? Is this person going to go to war, whatever it is? And right in the middle of you watching this season where you're like, man, this is getting good. I hope this happens to this person. I hope this doesn't happen to this person. They say, here's some previews for next season. And you see, oh, they did get married. Oh, that guy did live. Oh, that guy did go to war. Did that not ruin it? If you're reading a whodunit and they say, by the way, the butler did it in page 3, but don't worry, the detective doesn't know yet. You're going to be like, okay, well, that sucks. I'm not reading the rest of this book. You've already told me who did it. By allowing all the stuff that they allowed to happen last night, you told the people who did it. You've told the people what your next feuds are. I get it. Gunther is going to fight Matt Riddle. We got that. You've made that very, very obvious. We get it that the Usos are probably going to cost Roman and Solo the titles and start a feud with them. And Imperium is apparently going to be at the behest of Paul Heyman now. And Sammy and KO are going to start a feud with Damian Priest and Finn Balor. And maybe we're going to see JD McDonagh enter this fray somehow. I don't know. And, of course, Gunther is going to smash Ali. And Seth Rollins is going to be the champion. And eventually fight Roman Reigns in a unification match. There you go. There it is. So I know the ending to everything. And it's like knowing the butler did it and saying this is a 1,000-page book, and at the end, the detective's going to say, aha, the butler did it. Yeah, I knew that from page one. So why am I reading 999 more pages? You can't do this. You always have to keep the fans guessing. I know it's hard. With social media and all this other stuff, it's very hard. But, Todd, you've got to try. Because if you don't try at all, then this is what you end up with. You just end up with a story you've already seen, a movie you already know the ending of.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they like to ruin – they give us stupid-ass spoilers of what's going to happen in the next season or the next movie or whatnot. Is it just – I just don't like that, to be honest with you. It just ruins the...
They've got to stop it because it makes it not fun to watch. I feel like I can miss Night of Champions now. Is there a reason for me to sit there and watch Gunther and Ali? I already know what's happening. And I know people are going to say, but it's going to be a good match. Okay, but that's like saying it was a very well-written story, but you already know the ending. I defy you. Take a book. Here's what I want you to do, if you doubt me. Take a book, a good-sized book, let's say 600-700 pages, and I want you to read the last chapter first. And then ask yourself, am I going to start from chapter one now and read how they got there? Or is the book kind of ruined and there's no need to? I bet you're going to say, the book is kind of ruined now and there's no need for me to do this. I already know what happened to all the characters. So why – there's not going to be any drama when, oh, this person's in trouble? Yeah, but nothing happens to them because they were there at the end. Oh, this person was this? Oh, yeah, but I know that person is really this. You're not going to do it. The WWE shows you the ending before the beginning, and I don't know why they do it. It's the cardinal sin of writing. Never give away something. Now, can you swerve it? Well, of course, because it's rigged. They can have Ali win the damn thing if they want, but then to what end? Oh, Ali wins in Saudi Arabia, and then he loses the next night. Okay, and that accomplished what other than to make Gunther look like a damn idiot? So they're not going to do it. They could have Roman and Solo win, and then the feud continues, though, with KO and the Judgment Day, because why? KO and the Judgment Day, I mean, KO and Sammy, they don't want their belts back. They just want revenge on Judgment Day? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, AJ Styles wins, and hey, we all come back to Raw, folks. But SmackDown doesn't get any picks. You're taking four of your guys, and you get nothing. Does that make any sense? This is the problem when you don't think things out. And the WWE seldom thinks things out. For a while, they were going real hot with this bloodline storyline. But now they're not thinking things out clearly. And they're losing me on it for a couple of reasons. The main reason being, there would be no reason in the world for Roman Reigns to belittle the Usos at this point. It doesn't help him. In the beginning of the story, when he was belittling him and Jimmy, He was doing it to say, I'm doing this because I want to make you better. I'm doing this because I want you to understand that you guys are the greatest, and I'm the one who's criticizing you the hardest. I expect the most out of you. And they were highly successful. So he kind of kept his promise. But any idiot, if you're Roman Reigns and your henchmen lose the titles, you don't say, oh, I'm going to push them around and tell them they're idiots and everything, and then they're going to help me. Wait a minute. No, they're not. So why would you do that? You'd say, that's all right, guys. You get them back. Who cares? I'm still the champion. That's really, isn't that what the whole thing's supposed to be? As long as I'm still the champion, your real worth in this group is to make sure that I keep this belt at all costs. If you have them, great. If you don't have them, whatever. No, he's clearly saying, I don't even want you in the bloodline, basically. Okay, well, then now you've cut your field in half and your chances of keeping your title less. That would be a dumb thing for Roman Reigns to do. So now you're trying to tell me in this story, Roman Reigns is a complete idiot. Before you're telling me he's a master psychologist who's got the Usos hooked. Now you're telling me he's a complete idiot who's throwing away his own life support system for no reason, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. They're trying to show you the end of the story before the end of the story. And the only way that happens, the only way that works out, to my knowledge, is the old Columbo, where they tell you how it was done, they show you who done it, but they did it for a reason, because they wanted to tell you, well, now we're going to have Columbo figure it out, right? Well, that's the only way that type of stuff works, is in a detective type thing where you're trying to say, well, this guy, this frumpy looking guy that you don't expect to be that smart, super smart, and can figure things out, right?
You can do that in wrestling, and they've done it in wrestling. They've done it where somebody's partner is obviously a backstabber, and they show you they're a backstabber. They show you. They did it with the Bloodline. It was very clear that Roman Reigns had no interest in Sami Zayn. It was all a matter of, when will Sami Zayn finally figure it out? We already knew. You can pull that off with good writing. But you don't give away the end. If Columbo had, in the very beginning of the a Columbo episode, he already knew who the person was and said, oh, I know you're guilty, I just got to find out how, then it would have been ruined. He never did that. He always said, oh, yeah, that explains it. Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, you did that for that reason. Oh, well, that would explain it. Time, he was getting a little bit closer to saying, the more questions I ask, the more this isn't adding up. And then at the end, he gave you the reasons why. This Bloodline storyline should have ended. You ran it too long now. The Bloodline storyline should have ended when Sami Zayn turned on Roman Reigns. Jey Uso should have been, what's the right word for it? Missing in action like he was for a little while. When he came back, if you wanted to do the thing with he sacrificed Sammy for his brother, fine. But he should have told Sammy that. He should have said to Sammy, you think I wanted to do that to you? You know what Roman would have done to my brother? I'm waiting for my chance. And then we all anticipate it. When is his chance? Roman don't know it. Roman thinks everything's fine. At least you would have had that. I mean, you would have had the idiocracy of how come Roman doesn't watch the show and sees that he said that. But that's where I thought they were heading. Instead, they're heading down the road of Jey Uso saying, I don't care. I don't care if he pushes it all around and yells at us and stuff. I'm still going to stick with him. Nobody'd stick with you. Unless you're a total wuss. Is that what you want to portray the Usos as, total wusses? So here we go with the ratings of this week's Raw. I think Shinsuke Nakamura and The Miz had a very good match. I think the Battle Royal was ridiculous. I think the closing match was very, very good. The Judgment Day and Sami and KO did an excellent job. At the end of the day, though, folks, this was a very missable Raw. Nothing major happened that you'd say, oh, my gosh, I missed something big. If I didn't see it at all, I never saw that coming. Everything was just pretty much status quo. And there was too many illogical things, like why top names didn't want to be the top contender for the Intercontinental title, why you're starting feuds in the middle of a feud, why you're letting people go into a battle royals, never had one single match on a WWE event, not one. So if I have to tear it apart like that, I have to tell you that I can't give it any better than a C-. And I think I'm actually being generous, because when I turned my TV off last night, I said, this is a D. This is a D show all the way, for nothing less than just the illogical nature of it. But I thought about it overnight, and I said, well, you know, the matches were entertaining enough. I don't even want to get into Cody Rhodes and the dumb nonsense. Cody Rhodes getting on my nerves. I don't know. I guess everybody loves him down in North Carolina. That's great. But he's getting on my nerves. If that guy isn't a heel in 3 months, you're missing the boat, because he's an annoying face. Everything's all so overly dramatic with him. I've conquered the beast and I'm going on. It's just, God, I'll have mercy on me already. I can't stand this coming out to pop, teenage pop music that nobody over 20 would listen to, calling yourself the American Nightmare with all kinds of skulls on an American flag, like you're some real tough biker or something, and then coming out in a Easter egg blue suit. Drives me crazy. I'm giving it a C minus, Mike. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'd like to give it a C minus, but each illogical thing that happens drags it down. So it's going to be just a flat D for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, that was my initial reaction when I turned off the TV. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I'm going to give it a C minus as well.
D minus from Todd. And Tom, what is your rating this week?
Well, I'm going to give it a C minus, and I mean, you know, the only thing I would have given it a C if you know, if at the end of the show that Ron Simmons just came out and went, "Durr." But you know,
and that's what I felt like doing.
I mean, it was just you know, the matches were okay. The only thing I actually liked about the battle royals was that when one of the Maximum Male Models dropped the other one because he's scared of Dexter Lumis, that was kind of funny.
Now, I do have a programming note, and that is we will not be here on Friday. I am on vacation, so I will not be doing the Friday wrap-up. Sunday should be as normal, but Friday we will not be here. So we will see you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.